Message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the voice of the message to Israel. This is a special season for the giving and exchanging of gifts. The value of the gift often may be determined by three considerations: the intrinsic worth of the gift, the motivation behind the giving, and the usage to be derived from the gift. It causes one to exclaim, "Thanks be unto God for His indescribable gift." At this holiday season, A.J. Overton, our Message to Israel speaker, directs our attention to evaluating the gift that manifests God's love and grace. I'm happy to present for his message, God's Indescribable Gift, Mr. Overton.
Thank you, Mr. Spencer, and greetings, friends, in the name of the Lord Yeshua. There are some gifts so rare and costly that they make us nearly breathless. There are other gifts, however, of much less material value that we may prize even more highly because of the love conveyed or the sacrifice involved. There is a most touching experience in the life of King David that illustrates this truth. The enemy, the Philistines, occupied Bethlehem. How precious was David's boyhood memory of Bethlehem! It was there that David had been called from the fields as he kept watch over the flocks of his father Jesse. Then on that very day the prophet Samuel anointed him to become the next king over Israel. But now the Philistine garrison was at Bethlehem. David longed for water. He was heard to say, "Oh, that someone would get me a drink from the well near the gate of Bethlehem." Three of David's mighty men broke through the Philistine line, drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem, and carried it back to David. But he refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out before the Lord. "God forbid that I should do this," he said. "Should I drink the blood of those men who went at the risk of their lives?" Such a gift as this is far beyond monetary value. Yet another gift may possess special value to us because of its unique fitness to meet our need. On some rare occasions, one may hear the expression, "This is just what I needed." The Hebrew Scriptures record the time when David and the people brought gifts for the building of the temple. King David had desired in his heart to build this temple, but he was forbidden by God to do so. Instead, the Lord promised David, "You will have a son, a man of peace and rest. His name will be Solomon. He is the one who will build a house for my name." David made, however, very extensive preparations for the construction of the temple before his death. The leaders at that time set a good example before the people. The people rejoiced, we read, at the willing response of their leaders. David also praised the Lord. "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the majesty, the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Who am I? Who are my people? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." How important it is for us to recognize that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. At this season of the year, we often face a dilemma. What gift should I give to this member of my family or that particular friend? Some people appear to have just about everything. Parents would do well to remember, as well as sons, daughters, and friends, that genuine and effective giving involves the sharing of ourselves. And this should be true throughout the entire year. The truly valuable and enduring giving will be like God's giving. He gave himself. Is it any wonder that the great rabbi from Tarsus, the Apostle Paul, exclaimed, "Thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift"? Let us notice some of the credentials of the one who is God's gift. He is the promised gift. The first book of Moses, Genesis, records the initial promise. Immediately after the fall or the sin of man in the Garden of Eden, the Creator, addressing the tempter, declared, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, your seed or offspring and hers. He will crush your head, you will strike his heel." The Midrash states concerning this promise of delivery and victory, "This is the Messiah, the King." This promise was affirmed more clearly to Abraham. "In thee, that is thy seed or offspring, shall all families of the earth be blessed." God further confirmed it to Isaac, and in turn to Jacob. And Jacob transferred it to Judah with the words, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh come." The ancient rabbis interpreted, "until Shiloh come," that is, King Messiah. That peer among the Hebrew prophets, Isaiah, reiterated the promise concerning the seed of the woman. "The virgin shall be with child and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." The prophet Jeremiah exclaimed, "The Lord hath created a new thing in the earth, a woman shall compass a man." The prophet Micah further enlightened, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." God's gift is not only the promise gift, but also the miracle gift. Listen again to Isaiah's declarations. "For to us a child is born, a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Such is the intrinsic worth of God's gift, the woman's seed, the offspring of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, King David's greater son, Emmanuel, God with us. Thus it was nearly 2,000 years ago that there were shepherds on the Judean hills near Bethlehem, keeping watch over their flocks by night, perhaps in the same fields where David had kept his father's flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared and announced, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David a Savior has been born. He is Christ, or Messiah the Lord." God's gift becomes even more precious to us as we observe the motivation behind this unique presentation. Love was the cause of this gift. In spite of mankind's sin, of Israel's unfaithfulness, God declared, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." The message is this: God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Human love, with its limitations and imperfections, speaks when human language fails. Now, if this is the case with human love, what can be said of God's love? God's indescribable gift was motivated also by pure grace. That is, God's giving was unmerited. The God of Israel was not obligated on the basis of man's righteousness. The gift was totally undeserved. Under the Sinai covenant, Israel's conduct could only merit judgment. Yet in spite of her sin, stubbornness, and rebellion, the Lord God declared, "I will cleanse them, I will pardon." The love and grace of the holy and eternal God caused the divine gift to be sent forth, Emmanuel, God with us. What an intrinsic worth! How unsurpassing the motivation! Indeed, thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift. And yet there is more. What a tremendous need this divine gift meets. The results are beyond description. The benefits are eternal. He announced, "I am come to do thy will, O God." The prophet Isaiah had written concerning God's will, "He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. All we like sheep have gone astray, yet the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And it pleased the Lord to bruise him. My righteous servant shall justify many, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great." As the miracle birth of Isaac foreshadowed Messiah's greater miracle birth, so the offering of Isaac by Abraham foreshadowed God's greater offering of his Son, the Lord Yeshua, Jesus Christ. Moses lifted up the serpent of brass in the wilderness. If anyone bitten by a serpent beheld the brass serpent, he lived. Even so it is written, Must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. King David prophesied concerning his greater son, Thou wilt not leave my soul in Sheol, or the grave, neither wilt thou permit thine Holy One to see corruption. The prophet Daniel wrote, I saw in the night visions, and behold, there came with the clouds of heaven one like unto the Son of Man. Zechariah the prophet predicted, And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. Yes, there is forgiveness, life, and peace in God's gift. He came the first time as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of Israel and the entire world. He will come the second time as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Scriptures clearly declare, The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, said to the woman at the well, If you knew the gift of God, you would have asked him, and he would have given you the living water. Would you like to come to know him, to understand God's indescribable gift? Then, if you will receive God's gift by faith, you will be able to join in the great doxology. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Why not, at this holiday season, not receive God's indescribable gift?
And now, may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. Shalom.